I'd like to start by praying. So, Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Just thank you that we are able to gather under your creation, as your creation, to worship you, to hear from you, and to be encouraged and inspired by your Holy Spirit. So I pray that as we gather today, oh Father, that it is your words that are absorbed, and it is your heart that we hunger for more each day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've been loving. Who here has been loving the series? Anybody? Yes? No? Yeah? Yeah? Who here likes questions? Does anybody likes questions? Questions? Yes? Yes? Do you know, the funny thing about questions is this guy called Nicky Gumbel. Anybody heard of him? Yeah. And he started the Alpha movement with God Questions. And it started as a question, and now it's a movement encouraging people, answering questions and pointing them towards Jesus. I still remember, when Andrew first spoke about his questions, and he spoke about the man of sorrows, and then Pastor Nami came in, and then she was speaking about prayer, and trying to put things together. And it's funny how God works when he puts things together with a bunch of random questions that people ask, you know. And it shows us how that Jesus plays the vital role, that he is the stepping stone, that he set the stone by going through the cross, the resurrection, that he did it for us, that he taught us how to pray, and he taught us by answering the questions, by going to the Father and doing the will of the Father. And so it's impacted me really well. And I remember this conversation when I was asked to do these questions, and I said yes. And I was like, I always say yes, but I said yes, and then the questions came through. And I had all these. So I read the first part of that email, that bird, these are the questions. And then before I read the end, I was like, wow, this is how I'm going to answer it. And then I was like, I read the instructions. And I'm like, okay. Which is interesting because the instructions were like, we're not here to answer the question like this is the answer, but more importantly, to guide people to stir up their own faith and encourage them to dig deeper into the Bible. Because you know that there are some questions that you'll never receive the answers to. You will never receive the answers to some questions. But what Jesus taught us is that if we continue to build on our faith, it allows us to ask more questions. But it also allows us to know the finished work of the cross and the love of God is with us all the time. So let's start here. The first question that I've been given the privilege to answer, it comes from Matthew 7, specifically the chapters Matthew 7, 22 to 23. It says that there will be many who did mighty works in my name, but will be told, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. How does that work? Can they do that? You know, I actually Googled that. Like, just for the sake of it. I usually Google everything to see how good AI is. And I'm telling you, AI is really bad. Like, it gives you some answers. Like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then I went to the Bible. And that's the very wise thing to do. So you go to the Bible, right? I remember reading 22 to 23, and I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again. And funnily enough, the chapter in Matthew 7 starts as, do not judge. Judge not that you not be judged. Then it goes on to say, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and it will be given to you. And then it goes on to say, the narrow way. Then he says, you will know them by their fruits. I was going to read the whole chapter, but it's too long. So I'll go with this. So when Jesus starts the chapter in Matthew 7, he starts by talking about how we are not to judge. And what he means by that is that we start our lives by self-reflecting. Because the Bible is a mirror. It is a mirror. It's a tool of transformation. So he starts by asking us not to judge, and asks us to start by self-reflecting. He then goes on to say, keep knocking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep seeking. Almost as if that when we found out the issues in our life, we take them to God. Because when we find him, guess what? We need to resolve these issues before we can do anything else. Because then we become something else with the same issues. He then goes on to tell us the narrow way. He then goes on to tell us that you will know them by their fruits. What Jesus is trying to show us is that when we start to self-reflect, when we start to work on the things in our life, we take them to God. He then shows us how to discern things around us. Because through those examples, he then goes on to talks about you will know them by their fruits, talking about false prophets, talking about false disciples. And he gives us examples in the Word of God of what we should stay away from. It is the Word of God that helps us with our ability to discern when we come into situations that want to distract us. Do you know, it says the schemes of the enemy. It talks about the schemes of the enemy. Do you know what the schemes of the enemy means? That he knows in the life of a Christian, if I bring him something big or if I bring them something big, what are they going to do? They're going to go to God. Because it's very evident that the big issues, you know, you can't do anything about. And so they're going to go to God. But when he brings you distractions that you often tend to ignore, you slowly start drifting away. And that's what Jesus is talking to us about, is that self-reflecting helps us to put our expectations, our pride, everything that we have away so that we're able to go to the Father and listen to what he has for us. That allows us to then understand the Father better through the written word of God rather than living up to our own expectations. He's blessed us with the Holy Spirit. And if you read that scripture, it says, many who do mighty works in my name will be told, depart from me, you. It specifically refers to the individuals who practiced lawlessness. Because you know judgment in heaven is between you and God. I won't go there as a group. Like, I won't take my wife and my children and my grandchildren and we go to heaven and God is like, okay, man, you threw that stone on that guy because he was just talking bad to your son. So, no. Judgment in heaven is between you and God. It's simple. And Jesus has paid the price for that. But let's break this down quickly. He says, when Jesus addresses you, he's very specifically addressing the individuals, the disciples, the false prophets, that at the time of judgment would come to him saying, because he will judge them, and at that time of judgment, they will come to him saying, but we said, Lord, Lord, that God, we did these things in your name, you know? We did all of these things. And in John 13:13, Jesus very well explains to his disciples when he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so am I. Because he knows who he is. Jesus' identity on him was never lost. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, Paul writes, it says, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It is not in the word of praise of people, but it is through the power of God that the kingdom of heaven operates. Man's way of elevating themselves is praise. Man's way of elevating themselves is manipulating and saying things that they feel will put them in the right spot. God's way is in power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms you. And what he means by practicing lawlessness is repeating known sin. When we receive Jesus Christ and we are baptized in him, we are to give up our old ways. That is what baptism means. It means we're dead to our old self and then we are resurrected through Christ. Now, some sins do take a journey. However, we need to repent and give them up. In Christ, and listen to this very carefully, when you receive Christ, you break that spiritual ties. But guess what? you need to practice to break the physical ties, because it's the habit that you need to break later on. So, I'll give you an example. When I grew up in Mumbai. The language there is supposedly Hindi and Marathi, but it's about 80% profanity. So I probably swore as much as some tradies, some people swore in a whole year. But that was part of life. I mean, you just spoke that way, you know? And it was the same. It was the same with alcohol, with relationships. It was the same. There was this habit, you know? It was just okay to get drunk. It was just okay to get drunk every day. So it's just okay to have relationships, you know? I had to break that habit when I received Christ. Very hard. Extremely hard to break. But I still remember the three things I did to break the habit of swearing, of alcohol, and of the relationships. I told myself, I'm not going to be in a relationship for a very long time. So I set a time and date. Not because I didn't want to, but to keep myself away from distraction. There's a scripture in Job that actually changed the way I think. Because it says, if it makes me look at somebody in the wrong way, I will turn my eyes away from him. So I started walking like this. I couldn't see very far. But that was the beauty of it. You don't get to see very far when you're with God. What you get to do is trust him with every step. With profanity, I had to apologize. So every time I saw, I was like, and my friends called me stupid. They're like, are you mad? What are you doing? Like, and they all like were swearing and blah, blah. And every time I did it, I apologized to the point where I broke it. I broke it from my life. Because I chose to make these habits. I chose to do these things. And I had to break it myself. And every time I did it, I realized that the enemy had no hold on it. This journey that you have with God, it is based on your individual choices. It is based on your responsibility to have good Christian disciplines. It is based on your responsibility to do things the right way. Because it keeps you accountable at the end of the day. And you do that by reading your Bible, by praying. And don't get me wrong, you need to have good friends. Like Sharesh said, you can't do life together. You need to have good people speaking into your life. That's when people keep you in check. Hopefully, you have the right people. They keep you in check and you do not practice and continue in your ways of lawlessness. You know, Paul writes in Philippians 1, 9 and 11, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight. Of insight, not outside. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, that you may be able to discern. So how can these people do that? You need to be able to do that. You need to be able to discern that. Because people live with self-deception and they can continue living in self-deception. But you make the decision to join in their deception or not. And the only way you can keep yourself from falling into deception is to be able to look inside, is to be able to discern well, is to be able to go to the scriptures, to be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ to the glory and praise of God. And also understanding that depart from me is not a you problem, and focusing on your personal reflection. Because some problems, you know, in this life that we face are not necessarily your problems. So stop making them your problems. Stop looking at somebody driving really bad with a really fast car and say, the reason I don't get a fast car is because I may drive as bad as him. Make sense? Does it make sense? You know, or I don't want to go to work because everybody that goes to work loves money. When the scripture talks about depart from me, it's asking you to discern well. It's asking you to beware of false prophets. And the entire chapter gives you the blueprint of that. So please read the entire chapter so that you are able to understand that Jesus, like when Pastor Nami spoke last week about prayer, Jesus said men ought to pray and then gave all the other examples. that Jesus gives us the answer to what we need to do. Now, the second question. Is one saved, always saved? Is there such a thing as backsliding? No longer believing that Jesus is our Savior? Or does that mean that the person truly never believed? Once saved is not always saved. Again, once saved is not always saved. And it is a bit more than that, than just taking that piece of pie home and going, you know, like, okay, fine, once saved is not always saved. No, no, no. There's a bit more to that. Christ is our ultimate goal. Our life, in every aspect, needs to represent a continuous transformation to being more like Him each day. We cannot believe that once you made the decision to follow Jesus, you can continue in your sinful ways or find something new that you know is wrong and continue doing it. Our life, like the disciples, needs to be progressive in Christ. And there are a few examples that I will talk about later on. It needs to be progressive in life. It is through Christ that we continue to progress. Each day, we need to make that decision to put Christ first. Each and every single day, you make that decision that Jesus, I put you first into my life. Come into my life. You are my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. I look at it in this way, and you may not look at it particularly in that way. But for me, I look at it in this way. If you are my Master, I do what you tell me to. You know, we sing that worship song that I will make room for you to do whatever you want me to do, not what I feel is right or how it should work. In Philippians 4:8-9, Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." What I believe Paul is trying to write to the church here, or to each and every one of us present here, is to focus on the things of the cross, is to not focus on the things of distraction that lead us into things that don't profit us. We're all redeemed in Christ. Do we all believe that? Do we all believe we're redeemed in Christ? So when we receive Christ, we're connected to this life-giving tree. What I mean by that kind of flows very well with the first question and answers how they could do that again. So we're on a journey that we're justified by Christ. We're sanctified through the Spirit, which is our life transformation on earth, until we're glorified by God in Christ. Now, can we all agree that sin has no place in heaven? Yeah? Would we agree that if we continue in non-sin, we won't end up in heaven? Yeah? No? Yes? Yes? So if you believe that you were once saved and can continue in non-sin and keep practicing lawlessness, you've made your choice of rejecting Christ. It's not about if the person truly never believed. Since we have examples of that, like Judas, he believed in Christ. He performed miracles in Christ. He did miracles in Jesus' name. But we all know who Judas' master was. It was money. It was self-deception. It was his way of thinking. It was his expectations. So he didn't want to follow Jesus where Jesus wanted to take him. He wanted to follow Jesus with his mouth and do what he felt was right in his heart. Self-deception often causes us to think that we're on the right path, that we end up confessing with our mouth and we keep deceiving ourselves and keep sinning and we think God is going to, and then when the time comes, we're like, oh, but. But let me tell you this, there's a certain journey that you share that is not previewed to the public, and that is between you and God. And what I mean by you and God is to help you understand that the matters of your heart ultimately comes down to your personal decision. I make a personal decision each day to self-reflect and see the problems I have. And don't get me wrong, I'm probably about 90% with problems. Yeah, there's still a 90% things that I need to work on. Because I know, as a matter of fact, that I'm impulsive. You know, I'm very quick. Oh, man, I got these answers. But it's not, my impulsiveness comes from getting things done. And so then, because I wanted to get things done, I don't see, like, you know, the horse that runs the race? I am like that. And so I wake up, and I see things, and I switch my phone off. Because you know what? If your phone switched off, and you've seen things, and your phone switched off, now you're in that urgency to reply, but you can't because your phone switched off. Then I sit in the car and drive away. But guess what? I don't have my phone. I'm not at home. And so I can't do it. So each day, this matters of your heart needs to be addressed with God. And what helps you with that is your personal devotion with Him. Because there are things that only God and you will know about. There's things that not everybody else will know about. So our constant effort as we wake up is to be the most authentic version of who God wants us to be. From the time we wake up to the time we sleep, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Not thinking about once saved, always saved, and self-deceiving, but how do we make the conscious decision each day of staying connected to the life-giving wine, Jesus, and not fall away? Our journey of being saved is being able to be connected to Christ, always knowing that our eternity is with Him. We need to stay connected to that path that He has for us. Like your word is a lamp to my feet. Staying connected to His word, praying and drawing nearer to Him enables us to not fall into something called apostasy. And apostasy may seem like a fancy word. It comes from the Greek word apostasia, which literally means to stand away, to rebel. And we all know who rebelled and is doomed to die. Now to answer that, yes, backsliding is a thing. And they can believe in Jesus, but care about things around them. And continue to fall away, sometimes completely away from Jesus. However, I don't think it's right in saying that the person truly never believed in Jesus. Because we know the story of Peter. We know that Peter denied Christ 3 times. And when Christ died, he went back to his old ways of fishing. But knowing that when the time arose again, he followed Christ and did not love his life to the very end of it is the answer. That yes, you are given an opportunity to come back. So my encouragement to you will be this day, as the worship team comes up, my encouragement to you this day is just as the scripture says, focus on the things of God more than the distractions and continue to do what He has called you to do. Transforming yourself more into Christ. Because Christ is the answer. We're all getting transformed to be like Him. He's the best. Why are you working to be anything better than what He is already, if He's already the best? If you have family or friends that you think are in this situation and are drifting away, let's start by acknowledging Jesus' authority in your life first. So if you have, very carefully, if you have family and friends that you think are drifting away, let's start by acknowledging Jesus' authority in your life. What that does is, it teaches you that God is in control. It teaches you that Christ is who builds His church. It teaches you that His sheep, you're His voice and come to Him. It is that Christ who attracts people. What we do is continue to be transformed more like Him, so we reflect. Not by trying to change the people around us, but by interceding for them. But by praying day and night. And I'll finish with this scripture. In Psalms 1 it says, blessed is the one who walks not in the step with the wicked, nor stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff. They blow, the wind blows them away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord knows and watches over the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So as the worship team sings and leads us through the last song again, why don't we all just be upstanding? And we're going to pray. Each and every one of us is going to pray. We need to make Christ the answer to a life every day. So with every head bowed, I'm going to pray, and if you can repeat after me. And in your heart, make that conscious decision of Him being your master. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. And we believe in your resurrection, that you paid the price for my sin and broke the chains that once held me. That we walk in freedom because we chose you as our master. So come fill us with your presence and do what you want to do in our lives and the lives of our family. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.